Throughout the vast expanse of our galaxy, the Imperium holds utter dominion over a million worlds, each of which will stand as a home to the untold trillions of humble humans who toil away their lives in service to the God Emperor. Though the Ecclesiarchy may claim that faith is an adequate weapon against the dark, the sad truth is that in this calamitous era, we require more than a simple prayer to shield our souls. Humanity is locked in an eternal struggle for survival against the alien, the mutant, and the heretic who would each seek to dethrone us from our celestial birthright. Thankfully, however, we are shielded by the mighty aegis of the Imperial Guard. The valiant men and women who make up its ranks will stand resolute against the horrors of the galaxy, and they will readily lay down their lives to protect us from the oncoming times of darkness. Across the Imperium, our worlds are separated by truly unfathomable distances, with planets being so far apart that it could take a void craft over a decade to reach their destination, even if they traversed the hellscape of the warp to expedite this journey. Due to this, the armies of the Imperium must be sufficiently dispersed across the stars so that they can appropriately respond to the flowing tides of war, wherever they are to appear. In order to best solve this problem, the Imperial Guard will be broadly separated into regiments, which will be deployed in specific areas of space in order to act as the primary military forces of that region. Typically, recruits for a regiment will be drawn from a few select worlds within their home star system, and it is from these local recruitment practices that a regiment will derive its culture from. An important note on the regimental structure is that they will vary wildly between each other. Due to the sheer variety of Forge worlds and planetary conditions across the galaxy, we will find Imperial Guard forces which will be utterly distinct and unique from one another. Each regiment will go into battle with their own battle tactics, follow on with ancient traditions, adhere to specific cultural practices, and many will utilize specialized equipment which comes to define their presence on a battlefield. With this in mind, today we are to explore a specific regiment of the Imperial Guard, who have achieved a level of renown for their proficiency in brutal wars of attrition, as well as for their rather grim sense of determination when faced with certain death. Their name would be the Death Corps of Krieg. Their regiment has had a rather sordid and dishonorable past history, which has imbued its members with a martyr's mission to carve out a path of redemption for not only their soldiers, but also for their now barren home world. We shall learn of their shameful history, ranging from their once prosperous era of industrial loyalty to the Imperium, through to their bloody civil war, which ended due to a most harrowed decision taken by a desperate militarum colonel. Krieg was a hive world, a bustling hub of humanity upon which numerous hive cities jutted out from the planet's harsh surface, providing a home to billions of loyal Imperial citizens. Floating within the borders of Segmentum Tempestus, Krieg was seen to be simply booming, with year after year of prosperity leading to generous contributions from the world's ruling nobility towards the ever-due Imperial tithe. Within the dense and bustling centers of the large hive cities, the constant flow of trade was so fierce that one could quickly be swept up into the Imperial Merchant Corps if they weren't too careful. Meanwhile, the roaring industrial zones continuously surpassed their production quotas, allowing the eager overseers to flood the surrounding systems with their manufactured goods. Unfortunately, however, with their overflowing coffers and seemingly endless wealth, corruption became something of an inevitability. The planet was controlled and ruled slightly differently than some of the other hive worlds of the Imperium, in that they did not have an assigned planetary governor to oversee the world's dealings. Instead, Krieg was governed by a small group known as the Council of Autocrats, who took upon themselves the duties of premiership whilst taking their fair cut for all of their arduous work. As the long years turned to decades and eventually centuries, those who ascended into the Council became increasingly more comfortable and amicable towards the opulent living standards of nobility. To the autocrats, they lived a life of bucolic ease. Whilst the billions of imperial servants below them toiled away for backbreaking work within the deep mines or jostled in the cutthroat exchanges, the council members could simply sit back and reap their bounty whilst filling their days with ever more lavish and luxurious pastimes. Naturally, however, when one finds themselves living in monarchic conditions, they cannot possibly imagine them being taken away. As such, the autocratic council members became encumbered with the ever-infectious plague of paranoia. They believed that if they were not careful, that they could be overthrown, and that they would lose their lives of hedonistic affluence to jealous outsiders. Now, this was not an entirely unfounded fear, for there were some high lords within the Imperium who had seen of the excessive plenitudes of luxury found within the palaces of Krieg. However, since the council members always paid their tithe, there was never a true risk of them ever receiving a visit regarding the clear injustices of this world. Nevertheless, there being even the slightest chance of the council being deposed was simply too dire for the ruling autocrats, and so they devised a rather maddened solution to their problematic situation. The ruling lords began to bolster their hive cities with huge defensive structures. Walls the size of hablocks were erected throughout the urban sprawl, separating communities into strange fortification zones. Towering bastions, equipped with huge weapon batteries and blinding spotlights, were dotted throughout the cityscape, whilst fortified bunkers were dug deep underground, being filled with stockpiles of heavy ordnance, as well as some more forbidden and harrowed tools of destruction. These defensive lines were to be manned by a newly formed private military force, drawn from the most loyal and monetarily inclined of individuals found throughout the cities. Even with all of these changes, and with the clear increase in armed soldiers patrolling the streets, life for the innocent and humble workers of Krieg did not immediately change. They were ignorant to the reasons behind the military build-up, and so simply assumed that the autocratic council were acting with their best interests at heart. This, unfortunately, was not the case. The paranoia of the high nobles only grew more bloated in time. They feared that this heavy fortification would soon be seen as an admission of guilt towards their exploitative situation, and so their fears of deposition became simply interminable. The amount of resources and manpower needed to construct these defenses had also become worryingly high, to the point where a large percentage of the world's industrial output was now dedicated to the fortification of the hive cities. As a result of this, when the eventual call came for the imperial tithe, the council members took this as a personal affront. They saw the tax as being not only a hindrance, but an active attack on their way of life, as it was draining them of the resources and supplies which they so desperately needed to fortify their luxurious homes. Sadly, by this point it seemed that the planetary leaders were lost in their own paranoid delusions, and that war was now destined to arrive on Krieg in one form or another. The stockpiled kindling upon the prosperous hive world eventually burst into flame in the year 433 M40. Within the ruling council of Krieg, there was a premier spokesman who stood as their chairman and high autocrat. It was this noble who had the final say on all political matters which transpired across their world. Regrettably, this man too was racked by the paranoid ravings of his fellow council members, and on one fateful day, beneath the blazing light of their sun, he made his intentions known to the entire Imperium of Man. He first declared that martial law was in effect across the world, and that no citizens would be permitted to leave their habs for any reason. The newly formed private military forces were deployed en masse to secure the hives and to ensure that order was kept in the streets by any means necessary. Furthermore, the High Autocrat sent a voxcast to all nearby star systems within the Segmentum, which read that Krieg was now an independent world from the Imperium, and that any transgressions against them would be met with the blades of 1 billion bayonets. If these calls were not damning enough, he followed up his message by declaiming that the Emperor of Man was neither his god nor his liege, and that all should similarly denounce him as a decayed remnant of a bygone era. Within but an hour of this declaration, Krieg was sent hurtling through its terrible spiral towards damnation. A violent and terrible civil war erupted almost immediately, and thanks to the huge military buildup which had occurred in the prior years, it was only ever destined to bathe the streets with blood and ash. On one side, there were the true and loyal servants to the God Emperor who sought to end this sudden madness which had gripped the heart of their ruling councilman. On the other, however, were those in the pocket of the High Autocrat who were ready to earn their pay as soldiers and to put down the false Emperor's lackeys, all to restore the old order to Krieg. Rather sadly, it was the treacherous followers of the autocrats who found the most success in the opening hours of this conflict. Like a curtain of iron, they swept across the hives, bringing habs, districts, sectors, and eventually entire cities under their steel grip. The hive streets lit up with sparking bolts of lasgun fire, illuminating the charred and ruined remains of what used to stand as bustling thoroughfares and market zones, all of which had now been reduced to a blood-stained, ash-choked battleground. Days turned to weeks, and the remaining hive cities of Krieg all fell to the traitor forces until only one remained as a defiant beacon against the coming darkness. This was the hive city known as Ferrograd, which had been fortunate enough to hold the garrison of the 83rd Krieg Imperial Guard Regiment, led by the esteemed Colonel Jurten. He had rapidly organized the loyalist forces under his command to scour the hive city of any traitorous curs who could be found, before ordering his troops to take up arms in the defensive fortifications and to wait for the encroaching enemies to arrive. Jurten and his fellow advisors had also moved to locate and execute any of the ruling lords who could be found in the high spires, however like a many-headed hydra. Killing but a few of the snakes would do no good, for if even one remained, then the sin of treachery would persist. It also did not help that many of the more senior council members, including the High Autocrat himself, were located in other hive cities. And so this effort seemed rather futile in combating the primary source of this rebellion. Nevertheless, Jurten had fortified the city of Ferrograd as best he could, and eventually the remaining loyalist forces of Krieg soon flocked to meet and join with his defiant cause. The streets were soon bolstered with faithful Kriegsmen and women, who looked up to the colonel as a symbol of loyalty to the Imperium and to the Emperor. The entire hive was brimming with soldiers who would lay down their lives for their homeworld, but it soon seemed that they would be forced to die a martyr's death. The traitor forces had swept the planet, cutting Ferrograd off from receiving any supplies or further reinforcements, and it soon seemed that they would be ready to make their final advance. Whilst the faith and fervent determination of the remaining loyalist forces was simply unmatched, it could not stand against the sheer millions of traitorous guardsmen who were approaching their city. In addition, Colonel Jurton had voxed to the commanding Segmentum military leaders for aid. However, he was quickly informed that due to the build-up in Krieg's military capabilities, that no fleets of an adequate size could be dispatched to besiege and liberate the world in time to save them. He was then given the futile order to stand his ground within Ferrograd and to muster his forces against the traitors to prevent their victory by any means necessary. Rather tragically, there was only one part of this order which Jurton seemed to comprehend. He knew that he could not break through the oncoming traitor armies and that the city could not be defended indefinitely. So he took a most drastic action to end this bloody civil war. Jurton called for one of his closest advisors, the Mechanicus Archmagos Greal, and descended into the deep bunkers below the Hive City, where the ancient and fabled weapons of destruction had been stored by the ruling councillors. He looked upon the vast stockpile of virus bombs, melter destructors, and nuclear warheads, before finally deciding that if Krieg was to fall, then it must not fall to the enemies of the Emperor, and so he resigned the world to die in flames. Upon the day which held the feast of the Emperor's ascension, which celebrated and remembered the day that the Emperor was interned upon the Golden Throne, Krieg met its fiery end. Colonel Jurton, along with the Archmagos Greal, activated the hidden military facility before unleashing the entire arsenal upon the bloodstained sands of his home. As the city began to rumble from the treads of approaching traitors, huge silos opened up and hundreds of warheads were launched through the skies. Some were targeted at the fallen Hive cities, whilst others simply climbed higher and higher into the atmosphere, carried on trails of the Emperor's holy light, before detonating in a blinding explosion of defiance against the traitors. In but an instant, Krieg was drowned in fire. Tsunamis of radioactive flame washed across the planet's surface, blasting the monolithic Hive cities down to crude hulks of molten metal. The sheer levels of dust and ash kicked up from the various warheads produced a thick occlusive cloud throughout the skies, blanketing Krieg in an abyssal nuclear winter. The ground itself cracked and buckled from the sheer weight of ordnance which fell upon it, opening up gaping canyons and leaving vast broken craters to pock the new wastelands. These swarming and dancing fires lashed across the world for days, until they finally subsided and Krieg was left in darkness. None on the surface were spared from the purging flames of nuclear penance. However, there were some scant survivors who found refuge within the deep tunnels and bunkers beneath the cities. But the gift of life was not completely secured for these fleeting citizens. To venture out onto the world's surface would be a sure sentence of death. But the tunnels were only ever intended for military equipment, and so there was very little in the way of food or civil supplies for those who now call the dark corridors and bunkers as home. The survivors of the nuclear fallout would soon go on to refer to the entire event as the Purging. However, it did not spell the end for their martial situation. The civil war was not over. There were sufficient survivors in the caverns beneath each of the Hive cities that the remaining soldiers quickly regrouped and mounted new offenses against each other. Even though Krieg was now a death world, which could never support life again, the fleeting dregs of humanity still raged against one another, desperate to pry this world's ashen corpse from the broken hands of the other. As the years passed, survivors of each side quickly adapted to the new, terrible conditions of their once prosperous home. They fashioned thick greatcoats to shield themselves from the harsh, radioactive winds which howled through the night. Gas masks were enhanced and modified to adequately filter out the polluted haze which seemed to have replaced the air itself. These two pieces of apparel quickly became something of a second skin to the surviving guard, and it was rare to ever see a Kriegsmann remove his treasured equipment. Eventually, the nuclear fallout of Krieg had settled to a level where it became possible for appropriately suited individuals to venture out onto the planet's surface. This atmospheric change simply heralded a new era of conflict as it stoked the flames of their civil war to spread from the tunnels back into the ruined cities. It was during this time that the surviving guardsmen and women claimed their iconic name as the Death Corps of Krieg. Their lives may have been robbed from them by the actions of the treacherous council members and of the decision taken by Colonel Jurten, but from the ashes of war did they find a new purpose. Every expedition, every mission, and every endeavor from the Loyalists was simple. They sought to fulfill their duty to the Emperor by exterminating any remaining traitor presence which could be found within the blasted hellscape of their old home world. It brought them nothing but shame to think of how their once proud name had been marred and stained by the scars of treachery, and so redemption had become their only living purpose. For 500 years, the Civil War raged. The newly named Death Corps advanced slowly and steadily through the nuclear wastelands, fighting a brutal war of attrition against the remaining traitors. New generations were born, and old generations died in the muddy trenches of Krieg, dug up to give some meager semblance of protection to the disgraced survivors. The crumbling skeletal remains of the hive cities were besieged, with the masked guard trudging through the urban ruins to purge them of their heretical inhabitants. Eventually, the cold and determined descendants of the original loyalist citizens of Krieg claimed victory over the tattered children of the traitors. They had reclaimed their world and scoured it of the traitor presence, once again bringing it into the Emperor's light. As such, by the year 949 M40, the rebellion was finally declared as over, and the High Lords of Terror were eager to learn of what had transpired. By this point in time, aspects of their history had been lost within the atomic fires which ended their world. Jurten had died so long ago that none could be sure of exactly how his passing came. The High Autocrat and his council had similarly vanished, most likely killed by the opening salvos of nuclear destruction, but tragically their sin remained. Even with Krieg now firmly held under the fold of the Imperium once more, the members of the Death Corps struggled to truly acknowledge their success. The scar of treachery is present upon every single Kriegsman and woman, and for the crimes of their forefathers, they do not see themselves as redeemed in the eyes of the Emperor. They still believe that they must atone for their crimes, and that they need to make amends for the failings of their world. Nevertheless, with the confirmation of Krieg returning to Imperial rule, the High Lords were quick to dispatch a fleet to collect their tithe, for as long as you serve within the Imperium, then your taxes must be paid. Rather surprisingly, however, instead of offering up the required single regiment to fight in the distant battles of the galaxy, the Kriegsmen supplied 20, all of whom were fully equipped, trained, and battle-hardened to face off against the Imperium's many foes. The volume of soldiers supplied was surprising to the Administratum agents, but they would never turn down an ample bounty of manpower who could fuel the war machine of the Imperium. In truth, however, the war had changed Krieg in a way which it would likely never recover from. Over the course of the prior 500 years, their surviving society had completely changed to meet the needs of the conflict, and so every single living human was utterly dedicated towards bolstering their armed forces. Every child born was expected to fight and die as a soldier. But for those who were unable to do so, then they would simply work in the underground manufactorums to produce the arms and armaments which would be carried into war by the masked guardsmen. As a result of this, every new generation born upon Krieg was destined to join in their armies, and so they would have a constant supply of new soldiers who could be sent with the Imperial Tithe as something of a means towards redeeming their own name. When the Death Corps were sent into battle, Imperial commanders quickly noticed their indefatigable determination at crossing an enemy line. The Guardsmen would rapidly advance, constructing defensive fortifications such as trenches or palisades with which to use as a staging ground for their new offensive operations. Furthermore, they were clear experts in urban sieges, where it seemed to be second nature for them to move through ruined cityscapes. In truth, any world which at all resembled their hellish conditions upon Krieg seemed to be their preferred battleground, and the most terrible war zones of the galaxy soon became their selected area of deployment by Imperial commanders. Thanks to their incredibly effective gas masks and protective equipment, it also became rather common for the Death Corps to be deployed onto toxic, radioactive, or generally deathly battlefields. They never complained or spoke out against these missions, since in their eyes, they still needed to earn their redemption in the eyes of the rest of the Imperium. And so they would take any deployment, regardless of the conditions. Even the Imperial Commissars were somewhat taken aback by the attitude of these guardsmen. They were used to ordering about weaker soldiers who were ill-suited to such harsh conditions, and yet the Death Corps of Krieg never seemed to bat an eye behind their masks at the idea of advancing through neck-deep toxic waste. Reports to Imperial commanders continuously recounted of how they were utterly unshaken by even the most dire and terrible of conditions found throughout the galaxy, and how nothing seemed able to break their iron, hard will. Today, Krieg is simply incomparable to its bygone days as a hive world. The planet itself is dead, and yet life still persists in the dark tunnels and caverns below its scarred and ravaged surface. The Administratum has ordered that Krieg must pay the highest available tithe as some form of penance to which its inhabitants silently and stoically abide by. The Imperial commanders who take command of the Death Corps during a battle often find them rather unsettling due to their grim demeanor, dour attitudes, and apparent willingness to endure staggeringly high casualty rates if it brings them victory. Despite this, there would never be a commander to turn down the deployment of a regiment of hardened Kriegsmen, for there will always be a war zone in the galaxy which merits the use of such unbreakable warriors. There is nothing left upon the world of Krieg save for its military output. No trees stand, no grass blows in the wind, and no water flows upon its surface. Instead, it is a factory. Its citizens simply live to die on the distant battlefields of the Imperium, and it is only in their deaths that they may find salvation and redemption for the crimes of their forefathers.